हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके Page 23. Okay. The BBT purport mentions Srila Sridharaswamy quotes the following Smriti injunction regarding inheritance. Patni duhitarashchaiva pitaro bharatastata tatsuta gotra ja bandhun Shishya sa brahmacharinaha. The inheritance goes first to the wife, then, if the wife has passed away, to the daughters, then to the parents, then to the brothers, then to the brothers' sons, then to family members of the same gotra as the deceased, and then to his disciples, including brahmacharis. Right, so that means if there's no son, then this is where it will go. Right, so then since he didn't have a son, these are then the things that, where it would go. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna indicated by a statement that Satyabhama was already pregnant and that her son would be the real claimant of the jewel, would certainly take the jewel from Akrura. Right, so as he mentioned before, is that the aspect of that, if there's anything left, any debts, then that would be the duty of the inheritor to pay. But at the same time, we see there's the law that when someone dies, then that debt is considered lost, it's cleared. So in other words, the person who has the debt can't follow up on it. But it's the duty of someone who's there, if there is facility, that it would be paid. Does that make sense? Because otherwise what will happen if it's that you can go after it, they'll go after anybody to get it, whether there's money or not. And so then that burden then of the you know, whatever it is, the elder then goes to the younger person, and now their own life will be, it won't go well. So it's just one of those things. It means they're starting their life, and the other guy sees, you know, things happen. Does that make sense? So you see is that it deals from both sides. We may say it's contradictory. No, it's the mentality of each person. Right? They shouldn't think, oh, it's all mine to enjoy. No, because that was made by the parents, then you should also pay for anything that is there, if it's, you know, known. Yes?
There's also, whoever gets the inheritance shouldn't waste it.
Yes.
So how, what is the meaning of, can they use it, or what?
It means it's theirs. When you get the inheritance, it's yours.
So I can deal with it however I want.
However you want. But the point is that you should deal with it responsibly. Because you have to do, it means, in other words, you get the inheritance because you have to do the pindas.
Right.
And so that means then, in that case, then you have to have the money to do the pindas. So you shouldn't just have a party or something. It means you can have a pinda party, but you don't have a, you know. But at the Pinda party, there's only one guest, so, you know. Yeah. Yes.
What is the definition of the son, according to the...
Sorry?
What is the definition? How the Vedas define the...
Son. There's 12 definitions. So the first is that it's a son from your own body with your own wife. So that's considered the first. So that's the one, is just your standard, and that's your general definition. But in case, so that there can't be any problems or this or that, then there's 11 others who are defined. You know, so that means adoption, means when you're marrying the girl, she's already coming with a child, or all these different things, or she's married, she's with children, all these, so those kind of things. Or the person, you don't go out to adopt them, but the child comes to you and takes shelter, or, you know, all these different, so there's like that, there's 12 different. And as the list goes, each one is less than, you know, than the other. And so in general, that they could inherit if they're going to do the take care of the shraddha rites, like that. So if you don't have one of the higher ones, then the next one, like this it goes. But at the same time, as it gets down, the first six are considered the main ones, and the second six are considered less. Because in the second six, sometimes you may have to consider where is their parentage. You know what I'm saying? So they may not inherit, but they would be considered part of the family. So something would be taken care of, but at the same time, they wouldn't necessarily get inheritance. You know, they could, but they don't have to. Does that make sense? So you have all these, depending upon the situation, the mood, the mentality, like that. In other words, if he wants to get from his adoptive father or whatever it is, and from his biological father, then better he gets from his biological father and leaves the adoptive father alone, unless he's the only one. You know, but if there's other brothers, then they have, that is their biological father, they should get, and he should take from his biological father. But if it's like he's not taking from his biological father, he's only seeing his adoptive father as the father, then he gets a part of the inheritance. You know what I'm saying? So it very much covers all mentalities and all situations. But there's 12. The Lord continued, "Nevertheless, the jewel should remain in your care, O trustworthy Akura, because no one else can keep it safely. But please show the jewel just once, since my elder brother does not fully believe that I have told him what I have told him about it. In this way, O most fortunate one, you will pacify my relatives. Everyone knows you have the jewel, for you are now continually performing sacrifices on altars of gold," right? Which he wasn't doing before. It's not that he always was doing that. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "You are worthy to keep the jewel because you are fixed in brahmacharya. By keeping it, we will all derive the benefit of destruction of all calamities. Having announced the gem should be for everyone, Krishna covered his desire to give it to Akura by his words, since Balaram and others would wonder about that desire. Just show the jewel because Balaram and others do not believe you have it." Suddenly, Krishna became insistent that he show the jewel. This was not Balaram's idea. Right? He just wants to make sure and that, and then it's there. So now everything becomes very clear and all those kind of things like that. In his mind, Krishna thought as follows. Balaram already said that Shatadanva must have left the jewel with someone else. He was hinting that it was Akura, but did not say his name directly. It is known that Shatadanva killed Satyajit, but Akura was the one who gave bad advice to Shatadanva by saying that Satyajit had promised to give his daughter to him. So in other words, he encouraged him that way. He maybe didn't tell him directly you should kill him and take the jewel, but he encouraged his that revengeful attitude by saying, oh, he had promised the girl to you. Balaram had anger towards Akura and affectionate anger towards me for not giving up favoritism to Akura. Because of this, he will not believe me at all if I say the jewel is not with me. Though we can infer from your charity and sacrifices that you have the jewel, Balaram even doubts me, since he watched at a distance as I searched Shatadanva after killing him, so he might have the jewel and just say it wasn't there. Knowing my desires, he thinks that you gave me the jewel and then fled. This is how Krishna thought. Right? Because Krishna had asked about the jewel of, you know, to give to Ugrasena. So then they'll all think that, you know, he wants it. Not necessarily for himself, but he wants to see that it's given to Ugrasena. In order to indicate that he, Akura, was not terribly wicked, since the jewel would be for others' benefit, According to the first phrase used to describe Akura, Krishna says, "O Akura, fortunate with devotion to me, Mahabhaga, for having a portion of devotion to me, you are not interested in the jewel. Showing the gem will completely pacify Balaram and others, resolving the dissension arising from the jewel." He doesn't say about himself, but the point is this: it will. This jewel has caused so much dissension because it was in the wrong hands, and so now he wants to see that it's all done nicely. Harivamsa says, satisfying Balaram, Krishna had him brought to Dwarka by great warriors of the Vrishnis and Andakas. So then they all came, and so then, so, because Balaram has anger with Akura, you know, and so then, how do you say, he wants to see that it's all worked out, because the people, the populace are interested in him being there, and so then on that he's brought, and with that then the jewel, all these different things work out. So then Krishna, it's not that Krishna has the jewel, Krishna has any interest because it's being kept with Akura. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus shamed by Lord Krishna's conciliatory words, the son of Svapalka brought out the jewel from where he had concealed it in his clothing and gave it to the Lord. The brilliant gem shone like the sun. Footnote 12. We can see in this chapter how a valuable jewel caused so much intrigue, violence, and suffering. This is certainly a good lesson for those who desire a trouble-free spiritual life. After the Almighty Lord had shown the Shamataka jewel to his relatives, thus dispelling the false accusations against him, he returned it to Akura. Because that was the first time he went out, was to remove the false accusations. But still there would be some. And so then now he shows the second time it's with Akura. Everyone knows it's with Akura. So now everything's cleared. The BBT purport mentions, for the second time, doubts about the Lord's reputation occasioned by the Shamataka jewel are dispelled by the jewel itself. Indeed, for the second time, the Lord brought the jewel to Dwarka to establish his integrity there. This amazing series of incidents demonstrates that even when Lord Krishna descends to this world, there is a tendency for his quote-unquote peers to criticize him. The whole material world is infected by the fault-finding propensity. And in this chapter, the Supreme Lord demonstrates the nature of this undesirable quality. Right. So if Krishna can be criticized when he's not, you know, has done nothing, so then nobody else should worry that they're getting criticized. It's just the way it works. But criticizing's bad. That's why devotees don't get involved. But it happens. Right?
Here Krishna makes endeavor to dispel those who are criticizing, the yes. doubts against him. So in our personal life...
It depends on if it's something that simply can be done, you do. But if it's so much endeavor and nobody will care anyway, so then why get involved? Because time anyway... people move on from one thing to the next, right? It's not that the problem will be solved, it's just that people stop talking about it, because how much can you talk about something mundane, right? It gets old, so you stop talking about it. But it's not that it doesn't have its effect. Is that makes sense? Yeah. So that's you deal with.
Same question.
Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, this narration, rich with descriptions of the prowess of Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, removes sinful reactions and bestows all auspiciousness. Anyone who recites, hears, or remembers it will drive away his own infamy and sins and attain peace. Conclusion. The devotees are always faithful to the Lord, and the Lord always protects his devotees. Right? So we see, just hearing about the Lord, then all these different... impurities get removed. That's the whole thing. So just by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then all good fortune comes. So hearing, chanting, remembering, engaging in service, so any of these nine processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, then they give all benefits. So one doesn't have to worry about how one will remove all this sin and this and that. You have to have some separate process. No, the nine processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, they do that anyway. Conclusion. The devotees are always faithful to the Lord, and the Lord always protects his devotees. Because of offenses to the Vrajavasis and association with demons, Akura and Kritavarma were forced to join the conspiracy declared by sinful men. They thought, though they instigated Shatadanva to murder Satrajit, however, they still refused to give him protection and thus opposed the Lord. Right, so they were involved because of being involved with, how you say, bad association. Offenses to the devotees, bad association. Then they got involved in this, but it still didn't affect their surrender to the Lord. Does that make sense? So they got involved in some local politics, but their surrender to the Lord, that remains. Therefore, they wouldn't give shelter to Shatadanva. Shatadanva entrusted the jewel to Akura, thus showing that opulence should be kept with devotion by a great devotee. Otherwise, there will be a disaster. Yes.
Maharaj, does devotee...
that is the...
Does a devotee understand that he has a devotion?
Does a devotee understand that he has devotion?
He has devotion, yes. Because when Akrura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna, to bring him to Mathura, on his way he was... thinking that how Krishna will meet him and how will happen in Vrindavan, all this meeting with Krishna. And he thought that I am a devotee and then Krishna will surely meet me very in a good way, something like that.
But he's a relative.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he greet a relative?
But the part that embarrassed me, that usually we hear that when somebody has a love for Krishna, he thinks that he doesn't have it.
He's a relative. Did he say, because I'm such a fabulous devotee, therefore Krishna will do all these things and all that? He said, because he's a relative. So if you're a relative of Krishna, then you think, yeah, when I go meet Krishna, then he'll do this, that, because that's Krishna, the rules are given by Krishna, so why Krishna wouldn't follow them? But he's seeing it as a medium for expression of his devotion because of their relationship. So in other words, him being a relative is only an aspect of the interaction. That's the medium used. But it's not like the materialist where that's all there is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, one has to be very, very careful about when you're dealing with those who are associates of the Lord, we don't find fault. In other words, of what they do that we can use as example, that we follow. And other things is that they're beyond the rules. So then why you would blame them for that? You know what I'm saying? You know, then we're going to... Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful to not find fault in them. I mean, if there's a real need to find fault, it's just like it's important, you can't digest lunch without it, then you find fault in yourself, as you were recommending. But not based on the material platform, just due to not being absorbed in Krishna and forgetting Krishna. Does that make sense? By killing Shatadanva, Krishna followed the injunction of the Shastras that one who is Guru Druha, who has rebelled against a superior person, must be punished in proportion to the severity of the offense. Although Akura was involved in questionable affairs, Krishna still dealt with him as a great devotee. And summoned him back to Dwarka. Thus, even in the midst of conspiracies and intrigues, the devotees are always faithful to the Lord, and the Lord always protects his devotees. So whatever happens, we're faithful to the Lord, then Krishna always takes care. But if something happens and then we blame the Lord and this and that and blame the devotees, then how Krishna can take care? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So, then chapter 58. Krishna marries five princesses, right? So now he's married three of the eight queens, right? So Rukmini, by, you know, she sends a letter, he came, and then through the Rakshasa, right, he kidnapped her. Then Jambavati, then in the whole process with the Shamataka jewel, then with the Jambavans, then realizing that this was Krishna, then gave his daughter, because he wanted to give his daughter to Ram, but because he only had one, he was following the vow of only one wife, he said, in the future I'll accept. So now he's come as Krishna, he doesn't have that vow, so now he can give his daughter to Krishna. And so then that's there, and then in the whole intrigue with the Shamataka jewel, then Satyajit then gave his daughter Satyabhama. So all on the same basic occasion, like that. You know, a few days apart, but still, like that. For us, it's next to each other, but for the girls, it's as big as an eternity. Like, I'm number two, you're number three. Yeah. Like that. Chapter 58, Krishna marries five princesses. Now, the next group. Pratigya. The Lord can be pleased only by a humble attitude in the service spirit. Right, so you can see there's a theme here, is that you can only know Krishna with devotion. He protects the devotee who has that devotion and maintains that faith. And Krishna can only be pleased by someone with that humble attitude in service spirit. So we see is that these are what are being taught by all these pastimes. But the pastimes themselves are just wonderful to hear, so it's not that they have to be teaching something. But at the same time, whatever Krishna does many things at once. So it's wonderful to hear, and you learn something. Right? Chapter 58 summarizes questions and answers. Arjuna asks Sri Kalindi, question 1029 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Arjuna asks, yeah. Okay. Question 1029, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:58-19. Who are you, O fine waisted lady? Whose daughter are you and where do you come from? What are you doing here? I think you must be looking for a husband. Please explain everything, O beautiful one. Sri Kalindi answers the questions from verses 20 to 23. The rhetorical questions uttered in verses 37 and 41 do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna married. One may ask, why do you always put this? It's because otherwise you go through and this is a question. Why it's not answered? So this is why. So that does not happen. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna married five brides, beginning with Kalindi, and went to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas. After the Pandavas had completed their incognito exile, Lord Krishna went with Satyaki and other Yadus to see them in Indraprastha. The Pandavas greeted the Lord and embraced him in ecstasy. This is after that first exile, you know, after the house of Lack, and that not the 14-year one. That one, because yeah. They wouldn't be in Indraprastha then. The Pandavas greeted the Lord and embraced him in great ecstasy. Their new bride, Draupadi, shyly approached Krishna and bowed down to him. Then the Pandavas properly worshipped and welcomed Satyaki and the Lord's other companions, offering them seating places. So Krishna being the senior most, and of course being Lord, but he's respected and all that, and then all the other ones are respected, so everybody is taken care of. Lord Krishna paid a visit to Queen Kunti, and after he had offered her his respects, they inquired from each other about their family members. As Kunti Devi recalled the various miseries Duryodhana had inflicted upon her and her sons, she remarked that Krishna was their only protector. Quote, you are the well-wisher of the entire universe, end quote, she said. Continue, yet, even though you are free from all delusion of mine and others, you nonetheless reside within the hearts of those who meditate on you constantly, and from within their hearts you destroy all their miseries, end quote. So, Krishna is dealing with everybody equally, but those who always remember him, he always remembers them and then reciprocates. So in this way, he destroys all the miseries. Because the misery, we could take it that it's the secondary form that's the misery, but actually it's the primary, not remembering Krishna. So if you remember Krishna, then where's the misery? Right? Because externally, things change. But if we're not attached to those things, but we're absorbed in Krishna, then we don't have any problem. Yeah? Then Yudhishthira told Krishna, only because we executed many pious acts are we able to see your lotus feet, which even great saint yogis find it impossible to attain. Honored by King Yudhishthira, King Sri Krishna happily remained as a guest in Indraprastha for several months. One day, Krishna and Arjuna went hunting in the forest. While bathing in the Jamuna River, they saw a charming young maiden. On Krishna's request, Arjuna went up to the girl and asked who she was. The beautiful maiden replied, "I am Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god. Hoping to attain Lord Vishnu as my husband, I have been performing severe austerities. I will accept no one else as my husband, and until he marries me, I will remain in the Jamuna, living in a house my father built for me there." After Arjuna reported all this to Krishna, the omniscient Lord took Kalindi into his chariot, and then the three of them returned to Yudhishthira's residence. Because Kalindi, Jamuna, she's the daughter of the sun god. So in this form is Kalindi then. Later, the Pandavas requested Krishna to build them a city. And he did so by having Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods, construct one that was extremely attractive. The Lord satisfied his beloved devotees by remaining with them there for some time. Then, to please Agni, the fire god, Krishna arranged to offer him the Kandava forest. The Lord asked Arjuna to burn down the forest and accompanied him as his charioteer. Agni was so satisfied with the offering that he presented Arjuna with the Gandiva bow, a team of horses, a chariot, two inexhaustible quivers, and armor. While the Kandava forest burned, Arjuna saved a demon named Maya from the blaze. Maya Dhanava reciprocated by building Arjuna a splendid palace. In this building, Duryodhana would later get a good drenching after mistaking the surface of a pond for a solid floor, thus embarrassing himself. Because you have the pond, and how you build it, you know, with the depending on the marble and all that, it will reflect, right? And so then on the ceiling you put a carpet. You understand? So it'll reflect the carpet, and you think it's a carpet, though it's a pond, right? Like that. So these are things Maya could do. He was very expert at this. Next, Lord Krishna took permission from Arjuna and his other relatives and went back to Dwarka with his entourage. There he married Kalindi. Sometime later, he went to Avantipur, where, in the presence of many kings, he abducted the king of Avanti's sister, Mitravinda, who was very much attracted to him. In the kingdom of Ayodhya, so this is Avantipur, okay. In the kingdom of Ayodhya, lived a devout king named Nagnajit. He had an extraordinarily beautiful, marriageable daughter named Satya, or Nagnajiti. The girl's relatives had laid down the stipulation that any man who could subdue a certain group of seven ferocious bulls could win her hand. When Krishna heard about this princess, he went to Ayodhya with a large contingent of soldiers. King Nagnajit greeted him hospitably and joyfully worshipped him with various offerings. When Satya saw Krishna, she immediately desired him as her husband. And King Nagnajit, understanding his daughter's intentions, informed Lord Krishna of his own wish that the Lord and his daughter be married. The king affectionately told the Lord, "You alone would be a suitable husband for my daughter, and if you subdue the seven bulls, you may certainly marry her." Lord Krishna then manifested himself in seven separate forms and subdued the seven bulls. Right? Because otherwise, how do you subdue seven bulls if you're just one? Right? King Nagnajit duly presented his daughter to the Lord, together with a dowry of abundant gifts, and the Lord took Satya into his chariot for the journey back to Dwarka. Just then, the rival kings who have been defeated by the bulls tried to attack Lord Krishna, but Arjuna easily beat them back, and Krishna proceeded with Nagnajiti to Dwarka, right? So that was the reason for the army. Not that there would be a problem getting the girl, it would be a problem with those who didn't get the girl. Right? As you see in what do you call it? With Rukmini. It wasn't that he had to fight with how you say, you know, the king and in that way. He had to fight with those who didn't get the girl. Right? You know, same at the, seems to be standard at Draupadi Swayamvar then also. After then all the kings that didn't get, then they started a fight, you know. So it's just part of the, how you say, good, clean fun, right? You know, the Kshatriyas. Subsequently, Sri Krishna married Bhadra after abducting her from her Swayamvara ceremony. And he also married Lakshmana, the royal daughter of the king of Madra. Right, so from all different parts of India, then he you know, married these girls. So Madra would have been, you know, south, you know, where Madri was from. And then, you know, then Ayodhya, then what was that other place?
Avantipur,
yeah. And then Vidarbha. So, you know, all different places. Then at the Yamuna up there where Indraprastha is. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 16. Krishna visits the Pandavas. When one sees Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, one immediately becomes freed from all material anxieties and is blessed with all spiritual bliss. Right? So that's the thing. By seeing Krishna, that's when all fortune is there. So then by seeing through the ears, by seeing through the eyes, however, but the main thing is we see, because the overall chapter is by seeing through that proper attitude, that service attitude. That's the seeing of Krishna. Right? With that attitude, then one becomes freed. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. You see the Lord. That's your benefit. But how do you see the Lord? Is through that point. Does that make sense? Because one will ask, well, how do we have this humble attitude? So this is the whole thing, is that you're trying to do things to please the Lord. 17 to 23, Krishna marries Kalindi. Determination in following her duties and the mercy of the devotees assured Kalindi's success. Right? So the performance of your duties, working under the direction of the devotees, getting their benediction, that's then how things work. Because it's all about devotees. Then following their directions, how to render service. Does that make sense? That's how duties are defined. Not just by what we whimsically want to do. It's within the instructions, then what works for us. Does that make sense? You know, just like someone says, you should eat nicely. So now what the detail of what's nicely, then that's you choose. But the point is it must be proper. Does that make sense? So there is both the simultaneous aspect of my choice within how you say, a structure. The modern concept is my choice, no structure. And in fact, my choice sets the structure by which all others can be judged, though I am not judged. This is cheating. This is really self-centered. That's why the modern society can't actually run nicely as a society. It breaks down because it's just a bunch of animals. Because animals, it's about themselves. Human means there's a confine within. Then you fit into the human construct. Within that, then you choose. Does that make sense? Yeah, so she's performing her duties that are given by authority, and she's getting the mercy of the devotees. Right? Verses 24 to 29, the burning of the Kandava forest, and 30 to 58, Krishna marries Mitravinda, Satya, Bhadra, and Lakshmana. We cannot demand any mercy from the Lord because of our service rendered to him. Otherwise, it's business, right? The only means to satisfy the Lord is through the service attitude and nothing else. It's the service attitude that catches the attention. If you think, I did service, why is this happening to me? Then that means it wasn't service, it was business. It was religion. And we're thinking, because religion gives pious results. I do a religious activity, karma, I should get a good result. And don't worry, you will get a good material result. But you won't get bhakti. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, many of those who think like this and leave Krishna consciousness, they materially do well. But they don't have Krishna. They don't have the association of devotees. So the point is, if you want to convert your pious credits into material piety, you can do that. But in the process, you lose those spiritual piety. You can't have them both. Right? Yes.
There's one prayer in Upanishad which is recommended to chant before you die, you know, that Vayura Nilam Amrita. And it sounds like we're asking Krishna to reciprocate the service we did before.
But that's the attitude. That's what it meant here. Through the service attitude. Because that's the service. The service is that one has done these things to please him.
Yes, so now please remember, because I'm in need.
Yes, no, but please, that it's about relationship. See, relationship is one thing. Business is a step down from that.
Yeah.
So there's that. I've done physical services. They've generated physical results. Therefore, I should get results in physical results. That's what we're talking about. That's business. But I've rendered service to Krishna to please him. So kindly remember that is so to maintain that relationship. Is that? Because the point is that's the real relationship. All other relationships, they'll disappear. This one won't. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gopis also ask you about does Krishna remember self-service?
Oh yes. Yeah, the gopis ask for Kura. So it's about that mood, that attitude, the loving exchange. That's the point. You know, it's like Krishna's talking with Sudama Vripa. If he remembers the time when we were at the Gurukul and we used to do this and that and all those things. So it's a matter of relationship that you're doing. It's not the material benefits you'll get from that relationship.
Second last verse of Ishopanishad.
Yes, that's what Prabhu is quoting, yes. Verses 1 to 16, Krishna visits the Pandavas. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, once the supremely opulent personality of Godhead went to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas, who had again appeared in public. Accompanying the Lord were Yuyudhana and other associates, because right? Yuyudhana is one of the big fighters. Right?
Not
Satyaki,
Yuyudhana is different.
Satyaki is also. Satyaki is the commander-in-chief of at least Krishna, if not the Dwarka army. And Yuyudhana, you want to say something?
I think they're the same.
Yuyudhana and Satyaki are the same. Wow.
I thought they were mentioning Satyaki. Like, Satyaki is the same.
Okay, so it's just another name of Satyaki. Oh, nice. I always thought they were different. Okay, nice. But so many, they have such different names, you wouldn't know.
So Prabhupada about Yuyudhana said that he achieved material and spiritual success. And Prabhupada says that this is the result of devotional service.
Okay. So Yuyudhana, got both. Yes.
Both.
Because one's included in the other. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, as mentioned in the last chapter, there was a great rumor that the five Pandava brothers, along with their mother, Kunti, had died. According to the plan of the sons of Dhritarashtra, in a fire accident in the house of Lak, in which they were living. But then rumor spread that the Pandavas and the mother were not dead. It was a rumor, but actually it was so. Right? Because people didn't know, they just heard and stuff like this. So as soon as you get a glimpse of anything you could talk about, people start talking. Whether it's confirmed or not, that's another thing. That's the meaning of a rumor. Rumor is you actually know. And I mean, so rumor is you don't know, but you've heard. Right? So it's spread around. Right? They returned to their capital city, Hastinapur. And people saw them face to face, right? So they came to Hastinapur. That's when it was decided to divide the kingdom. They were given that the tract of land that was uninhabited. And so that's where they established Indraprastha. So by the looks of it, it's also on the Jamuna. It's just a little farther north. Okay. And people saw them face to face. When this news was carried to Krishna and Balaram, Krishna wanted to see them personally, and therefore he decided to go to Hastinapur. So when it was confirmed that they actually saw them, then Krishna went. Right? Otherwise, with a rumor, then why go? Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, previously the Pandavas lived with Duryodhana in Hastinapur, but after marrying Draupadi at her father's house, by the order of Bhishma, Dhritarashtra gave them half the kingdom. This is described in detail in the Adi Parva Mahabharata. Krishna was glorious with great wealth. He went to give them all wealth, since they had suffered for a long time. Right? Because as a marriage gift, then he went with so much to give them. He went with Satyaki because he was a main Yadu and dear to the Pandavas. So that then confirms it, because it said he went with Satyaki, while there it said he went with Yuyutana. Balaram did not go. Yeah, because Satyaki and Arjuna, then they grew up together, they were in the school together. So it's by when they were in the school and all that, and then after their graduation they would hang out and talk. It was in discussions from Satyaki that he heard about Subhadra. And then when he, you know, after in the prostrate, he went on that tour around India when he had to be away from the house. So then when he came to Dwarka, then he ended up marrying Subhadra. Like that. So at least it means, so they're good friends. So that's when he went, and then he took Satyaki with him. Balaram did not go. Being the guru of Duryodhana, he was not particularly friendly with the Pandavas. Or his association was not proper when Krishna was to marry Kalindi. Right? Because otherwise, if Kalindi came out, she wanted to marry Vishnu. So which Vishnu? Right? So then she's going to marry Kalindi. So if he's there, then it'll create a problem. Or he went to see the Pandavas who now lived Itan at Prati Indraprastha. Right, so he went to there, because once they're there, then if he visits, then it's fine. But at the other, then he'll have to take Duryodhana's kind of, a hospitality, and then Krishna will be taking the Pandavas, and then, you know, they'll use it to their own advantage. So to avoid that, then, to avoid Duryodhana making a mess, then he didn't go. Right, just like with the war, he didn't go. Yes.
So can we say that this approach can also be used when there are some friends and there are people who are not so friendly, so you kind of, if you know they're all there, you just don't go?
Yes. You know, I mean, you have to work your way out of it, because you see Balaram has reasons. It's not that you just don't, you have to give some reason. I mean, if they ask. If they don't ask, then don't bother. But yeah, you have to consider all these, because it's like, some people may have friends that are just, you know, one group of friends. But others may have different groups of friends as friends. And then those different groups of friends as friends may not be friends with each other. So depending upon what it is, if you can deal with them one at a time, it works out nicely. But if they ever get together, then it may be easier to not get involved. Like that, you know. You know, that's why, you know, God made the ability to hire cars and go to Calcutta for some important work, or, you know, whatever has to be done. Right? You know, so many dentists are there. Right? Most people, when they go to Calcutta to visit the dentist, end up, it's more about what they're going to eat in Calcutta than the dentist itself. Yeah, but it's about the teeth. It's about the teeth, yes. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the Pandavas saw that Lord Mukunda had arrived, those heroic sons of Prita all stood up at once, like the senses responding to the return of life air. Right? The senses, you don't get proper air, the senses go down. As soon as you get air, then the senses come up immediately. So for them, being great devotees, when Krishna is there, then everything's perfect. Otherwise, they have to hang out all the time with Duryodhana and all these other, you know, personalities. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna is called Mukunda because as soon as one comes in constant touch with Krishna or sees him in full Krishna consciousness, one immediately becomes freed from all material anxieties. Right? So in touch with Krishna or sees him in full Krishna consciousness. So any of these, one becomes freed from so much. Not only that, but one is immediately blessed with all spiritual bliss. So you're freed from material anxiety and you have spiritual bliss. Receiving Krishna, the Pandavas were enlivened, just as if awakened from unconsciousness or loss of life. When a man is lying unconscious, his senses in the different parts of his body are inactive. But when he regains his consciousness, the senses immediately become active. Similarly, the Pandas received Krishna as if they had just regained their consciousness. And so they were very much enlivened. Right? So this is the position of the great devotees. When they're involved with Krishna, Krishna consciousness, they become very inspired. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The heroes embraced Lord Achyuta, and the touch of his body freed them of sin. Footnote 13. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that since the Pandavas were never sinful, the term Enashaha here refers to the suffering caused by separation from Krishna. Like that. Because what's connected to Krishna is considered pious, what's not connected is considered impious. So here, by not being connected, then in that way you could consider that the suffering coming from there is that. Because when we say sin, sin means suffering. But here they're always on the spiritual platform, so there is no sin. But they are suffering in separation from Krishna. So then by being with Krishna, that suffering goes away. Does that make sense? Yeah. Looking at... The unhappiness was now vanquished by the Lord's return. Looking at his affectionate, smiling face, they were overwhelmed with joy. After the Lord bowed down at the feet of Yudhishthira and Bhima and firmly embraced Arjuna, he accepted obeisances from the twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadeva. Footnote 14. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, in the confusion of prema, they could only embrace and were unable to give blessings. Or seeing that they did not do the formalities out of shyness to teach the public, he personally acted according to etiquette, because they were just so ecstatic. They all just came and embraced him and this and that, but the etiquette was these three. He bowed to the feet of Yudhishthira. He then embraced Arjuna, not with the same great affection as previously, right? Because then this is a more formal, you know, they're friends. And then we see that the twins, they're the youngest, and so they offered their obeisances. So Bhima and Yudhishthira are older than Krishna. Krishna and Arjuna are the same age, and Nakula and Sahadeva are then the younger. Because I think between Yudhishthira and Bhima, there's 1 year difference, but between Bhima and Arjuna is 2 years difference. Because they did 2 years of austerity, because they wanted to approach the sun god. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Lord Krishna, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was playing the part of an ordinary human being, and thus he immediately touched the feet of Yudhishthira and Bhima because they were his two elder cousins. Arjuna embraced Krishna as a friend of the same age, whereas the two younger brothers, namely Nakula and Sahadeva, touched the lotus feet of Krishna to show him respect. So the etiquette is there. So since they didn't, that getting together and that pace there is very nice. But then to set example, once that the ecstasy of that had kind of, you know, come to a natural position, then he followed the etiquette to set the proper example. Otherwise people would say, oh, we don't have to follow etiquette. Does that make sense? So sometimes if ecstasy is so great, some things may happen, but then when it's not like that, it goes back to its normal. Because he said when he embraced him the same time, he didn't have that great enthusiasm like the first time. Does that make sense? Because sometimes things happen like that. I've noticed that sometimes in a kirtan, you have a big festival and the devotees come and that like that. And they sometimes do some wild stuff in the kirtan. Like that. And everybody's ecstatic and everything like that. But it's because of the mood, then these things may happen, which normally wouldn't happen. But then it's observed that then some devotees then think it's what they did that made the kirtan ecstatic, and then they try to copy that and put those into their kirtans. Does that make sense? And then it's just pretty ordinary. Right? Because it's not about what happened, it's the mood in which that happened. Does that make sense? So then sometimes you get that. You get that thing, and then after that it goes back to its normal, whatever's the etiquette. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, faultless Draupadi, the Pandava's newly married wife, slowly and somewhat timidly approached Lord Krishna, who sat on an exalted seat and offered him her obeisances. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, Krishna was seated in the best seat. By the order of the Lord, the Pandavas sat on their individual seats. Because Draupadi had the same name, Krishna, as Krishna, they were friends. Right? Because you may say it's different, but that's just the feminine form of Krishna. Right? Krishna attracted her heart with love because she was a great devotee. She approached somewhat shyly because she was newly married or because of her chaste nature. Right? Somewhat. Right? Overly large seven sisters, right? So you can see why Krishna keeps all these animals the size they are. Could you like imagine if they were, yeah. She did not have strong shyness since she did not have conjugal feelings for him, right? The shyness gets stronger because of the conjugal aspect. Does that make sense? So shyness is there just because of this, but then that creates more shyness because everything becomes very extreme in there. So it's not like that. So hers was friendship feelings. While we see the queens in that when Prajumna came, because of those rising of the conjugal, then they very shy, they just disappeared. And then only from observing, then they saw that this isn't Krishna. Then they came out, you know, wondering, who is this? She was not able to maintain shyness because of the nature of seeing him or because she lost control, right? Because of that friendship, they're devotees, and like the Pandavas, then she had the same. Or because of shyness, she slowly greeted him, offering obeisances with five limbs and slightly touching his feet. Right? So then, slightly, because everything is all, girls, it's always subtle. It's always like this gross aspect that you have to do things like the men. It doesn't work out so good, you know, because that's the whole thing. You know, the guy opens the beer bottle with his, you know, using his eyes or teeth. Then it's just normal. The girl does it. It's because she's a girl that it's special, and that's what gives her her place. You know, wow, you know, she can do, yeah, like that. But if they all start bringing your beer and expect her to open it, it's not working that way. Yeah. But if it's a guy, then they'll all ask him to open it, and it's cool. Right? Yeah. So there's a difference. Right? And also it says basically the five limbs. That's just the standard mood. So it's just... Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Satyaki also accepted a seat of honor after receiving worship and welcome from the Pandavas and the Lord's other companions. Being duly honored, sat down in various places. So first Krishna was sat, he sat, then they were all everybody else, and then it was all nice, because then after that everyone's seated, it's all taken care of nicely. The Lord then went to see his I always get stuck because I don't know how to say aunt or aunt. Queen Kunti. He bowed down to her and she embraced him, her eyes moist with great affection. Lord Krishna inquired from her and her daughter-in-law, Draupadi, about their welfare. And they in turn questioned him at length about his relatives in Dwarka, because they all have the connections and all these different things. So it's just a natural medium to start, and from that then you connect and then you get into whatever is the topic matter. Right? You don't just necessarily jump right in. Because we mentioned before, you see how Draupadi deals. The subtleties and all the fineness, that's how it all works. Like you see, it's Rukmini. She's coming out of the temple and all that, and she sees Krishna, but she still walks slowly. Right? Does that make sense? So it just has that mood, the subtleties, all these different things like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Seeing Kunti approaching with great eagerness, Krishna rose from his seat and greeted her, whose eyes were moist with affection. She embraced him, saying, "I worship your face with millions of lamps of my pranas." She smelled his head and asked about Vasudeva and others. Right? So the smelling of the head is her senior position. Right? But in this case, she came and embraced, then after that and smelled the head, then he would bow down and then they would talk. So it's just a matter of you bow down, then they embrace, or she embraced, they bow down. Point is it all happens. You know, like with Kunti, there's that she saw Krishna from the waist, went to his head, then went down to the feet, came back to the waist. Point is the full circle is done. You generally start at the feet, but if it starts somewhere else, fine, but take care of it, you know, everything else should be included. Does that make sense? Yeah. She smelled and asked about Vasudev and others. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Right? Vasudev is what relation?
Brother.
But direct brother or cousin brother or?
Direct brother.
Okay.
But she was brought up by.
Oh, so she was brought up by. By, yeah, okay, by Bhoja, okay. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Draupadi lived in a separate part of the palace as the wife of all the Pandavas. When Krishna suddenly arrived, he met with the Pandavas and later met Draupadi. Going within the rooms attached to the palace, he then met Kunti. He offered respects while announcing his name. Right, because you go into here, you have to announce yourself and that. You just don't walk in like you do. That's Bengali gentleman was saying, is that you're in your own house. You're with your own family. So it's not that there's a formal situation. But if he's going into the room where any of the women are or girls, before he goes in, he'll make a sound. He'll clear his throat. Something that's obvious that he's coming in. Says because, you know, it's up to the girls how they want to present themselves. Or up to the women. So if they want to make some adjustments on how they're sitting, how they're doing, you have to give them that time. So therefore, then you make that, and then you go in. Not that it was my house, I walk in how I want, I see what I want. No, that's wasn't there. So even Krishna going in, still he announces himself. So they know how to deal, whether they want to come out or not, how they'll come out, how they'll dress, how they'll deal. So, yeah, so all these considerations are there. That's the difficulty with the modern, all-off-the-living-room houses, that there is no way you can avoid seeing people. Well, in the Vedic houses, they did everything in a line so that there was ways you could move through the house that you could be not seen and be able to deal with all the important aspects of the houses, the bathrooms, the kitchens, you know, sitting places and that, and not be seen. But the modern houses, you know, unless you want to hang out in your bathroom all day and not eat anything, then you're stuck. Right? They ask him about his relatives, such as Balaram. Krishna did not ask Draupadi questions since she was newly married and bashful. He instead asked Kunti. Right? So she could take part in all that, but he didn't ask her because she would be bashful. You know, what to say and all this, everything's the newness, the freshness of it, and so then you want to be more careful there. You know, unless the relationship is so close. But at this point, Kunti is known. Draupadi is a good devotee, strong devotee, but it hasn't gotten into more detail at this point. Right? Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.